Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something, something, Bronco. With Lori Lattimore of Oakland, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. Incomplete. And it is something, something Broncos. It's Lori Lattimore of Oakland, Jess Place, Tim Lynch. This is our second episode. We're very excited. One thing that I noticed that we didn't do last week, fellas and lady, we didn't really introduce ourselves. We didn't really say who we were and why we are such crazy Broncos fans. And so I thought maybe we should start off episode two, kind of going into that so that, you know, people actually can put some personality behind these voices.
All right, I'll go first. I was not born in Colorado, but I moved there when I was one. And my dad was a big football fan, so I just sort of grew up watching football. So we, of course, watched the Broncos. And he was really a Cowboys fan. But in 1977, I was 7 years old, and the Broncos played the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. And so, but the coolest thing, because my dad was so into that, I knew all these stats. And I had moved to a new school. It was second grade. And my first day in the PE class, they had everybody stand up and he asked a trivia question, which wasn't very hard, honestly, but whatever. I was eight, seven. So they asked, who's number 77? And I raised my hand and I knew it was Lyle Alzado, and I won a six pack of Orange Crush soda. And I was suddenly cool. I was the cool kid who was new rather than like, just the idiot girl who came from some other school. So I was pretty happy about the Broncos for football reasons, but for my coolness in school, it was also, you know, like I was done. I was a lifer after that.
And what about you, Tim? How did you come into this craziness?
Well, I was conceived right around the 1977 AFC Championship game between the Broncos and Raiders by two Charger fans. I was born October of 78, and I lived in Colorado, though, later on, and totally abandoned my family for a much better franchise. And I watched Elway and The Drive with all these Bronco fans everywhere because we lived in Colorado, and they were at our house for the party that weekend, and just never really watched football until then. I casually did, but that was the first time in that final quarter, I sat down and watched the fourth quarter in overtime, and I became just a football maniac. I don't think I missed a game after that. I was technically born a Broncos fan, even though
it took a while. You were conceived a Chargers fan.
Yes, it's, fate.
Fate to abandon the Chargers.
Just like everybody else
has abandoned the Chargers.
Just like San Diego. Well, I came into being a Broncos fan. I was born in a small mountain town in Colorado called Cripple Creek, and a little teeny tiny town. My father was a gold miner, and I just had every Sunday. It was always Broncos, always growing up. Come watch the game with me. Come watch the game with me. And, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to play Cowboy. And it was interesting because we ended up moving out of the mountains. The price of gold plummeted in 1983, and it no longer was marketable to be a gold miner at that time. So my dad was like, all right, I have to come up with something else to do. And so he moved to Denver and became a stockbroker. And, we all moved out from the mountains, not in a covered wagon or anything like that. One of the first things we did, he took us on a driving tour of Denver. And we went to this old Mile High Stadium, and I remember it being really big. And he's like, son, this is where the Broncos play. And I was like, I don't know who that is, but that's great. I really like being here with you. I feel like this is a moment that we can talk about later in life. And so that's how I came into it. And so I grew up in Colorado. for the first 18 years of my life. I went to film school in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and then lived in Los Angeles for 15 years. And now I find myself in beautiful New Hampshire. And what's really interesting about this podcast is that absolutely none of us live in the Rocky Mountain time zone. We are on different coasts. Lori, where are you from?
I am in Charleston, South Carolina. I feel like I didn't get to do the full story. You've brought us up to date from birth to now. So maybe
I'm working the segue. so we can, you know, find out where we all live, you know?
I am on the East Coast in Charleston.
And Tim, where are you hailing from these days?
Smoky Sacramento, California.
It's beautiful.
You're familiar. You lived over here.
Yeah, I drive through, you know. I just go through there to get speeding tickets.
Yeah, spoken like a true Los Angelino.
Siskiyou County, if you need a good traffic attorney, I can help you.
I can help you with one here, by the way, if anyone needs one.
Well, moving on to the glory, which was the Cincinnati Bengals game. How do we feel that game went? Are we happy? Are we pleased? I mean, we got the win. That's good. But how did we play? What do you think?
Well, I thought it was like one of those games where everything started out slow. Both teams were kind of struggling. The Broncos were the better team and a little bit nervous. And then when it started to click, it was just like two huge plays, two huge drives, and the game was blown wide open. And then that's when you kind of knew, okay, they got this. So, you know, I'd rather that happen in the first quarter next week. So I have to wait till, like, you know, almost to the end of the game to go, oh God, okay, I could talk about the playoffs tomorrow. This is great. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see a little more of a fast start next week.
You're like Vance Joseph.
What is your take, Lori? What do you think?
I'm one of those people that looks at the very recent finish, and if you finish with a win, you finish with a win, so I feel good. So while I'd love to see Keenum get into his groove a lot earlier, love to see us drive down the field and score right away, I'm encouraged by the fact that they're scoring enough when they need to, and the defense is really holding the other team so that we have the time to catch up. It's a big loss to lose Chris Harris Jr. in that game, but we lost him in the first quarter and the defense was able to hold the Bengals. So at least we're doing what we need to. We're coming out with a win and we've got some really promising, exciting players, especially with number 30. So I love it. I loved the end of the game. Loved how our offense was scoring, and I'm excited.
Well, I think that we did tremendously well because, as you heard on the broadcast, Adam Archuleta and Spiro Dedis, they agreed with each other when they said that Jeff Driscoll was the greatest athlete on the field for the Cincinnati Bengals, and we beat him. So we should really feel good about that because forget AJ Green. He's the greatest athlete on the field. First of all, that's a feather we need to put in our cap. Second of all, Philip Lindsay is amazing. I love his hair. I love the Mile High Salute. I love him. He's amazing. And
I love his trash talking. He is five foot nothing. And that kid, every time he gets knocked down, he jumps back up and starts yelling at whoever tackles him. I love it.
You get the finger pointing and you're like, you, and you know, I'm sure they're swear words and I'm sure they're fantastic. You know, he's got that University of Colorado education. The trash talk has to be like next level, you know? One thing that kind of bothers me is when we have short yardage situations, we empty out the backfield. We have no running back, even though our running game is like unstoppable. Like you can't stop it. And especially when Lindsay runs off the edge, any edge, he's gone, you know, 60 yards. So what do? They either go empty set and they try to throw it and don't get it. Or they run Philip Lindsay like right up the middle and it's like loss of two every time. It's just like, what if, what if you stick with what works and run them off the side and we'll just get a touchdown from, I don't know, our own 40-yard line?
You know what? If I see one more empty set on a third down, I'm going to punch my wall or punch a pillow. You know, I'm a little older now. I can't really do anything that's going to hurt me, but I'm gonna be very angry with something inanimate.
I don't support pillow assault, Tim. You got to find another way to work that anger out of your body.
Yeah, and that's the thing. With all the injuries on the offensive line, I think three starters now are gone, and they got all tackles playing on the offensive line with one guard at center. So that really disrupts the passing game. And that's why it looks like he's running for his life. I think the Bengals actually really disrupted his play action, which he had been good at. And I think that's just going to be the new normal with that. And it's just, we're going to have to accept that the Broncos offense needs to be kind of like a meandering amoeba. You know, it's just going to be run, try to get some quick short passes in, because they're just not going to have the time unless they catch the defense off guard and go over the top to Cortland Sutton or something. It's unfortunate because you would like a totally balanced offense. I just don't see it happening with this offensive line. But they run block like crazy. So let's just get it to Philip Lindsay, or as Adam Marcelletta would say, Patrick Lindsay.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly the A squad. Certainly the A squad there. Oof. Well, I would like to take it another direction with regard to the injuries in the offensive line. I think since everybody's gotten hurt and reshuffled, the offensive line has gotten better. So maybe, I'm just saying, you know, maybe things could get better with the defense on that end, because Chris Harris went down with a fractured fibula. And I don't know if you guys know this, you need two of them to play football.
But apparently, it's a non-weight-bearing bone, so you don't need it for that long, or it doesn't take that long to get better.
So you're saying he's loafing? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying he'll be back in a couple of weeks. He'll be fine.
I would like to point out that the offensive line didn't have a Chris Harris Jr. type player to lose, even at the beginning of the season. So I don't think the defense is getting better without him on the field.
I would agree. Did you see my segue? I was trying to make a segue there.
All in attention. Segues. We should talk about, you know, the offense also now has took a huge hit with Emmanuel Sanders going down today in practice with an Achilles injury that is going to keep him out for the year. And I mean, this season, but even part of next season. And that's a huge blow because he's been a clutch player, especially for Case Keenum, especially on those, you know, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 18, 4th and 8. He's been money.
Yeah.
And now we have two rookies as wide receiver 1 and 2. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's not going to help Case Keenum any.
Emmanuel Sanders is the third down beast, you know. Yeah. Lose it. When I saw that, I was actually, short story, I was actually knee deep in a deadline. I wasn't even paying attention to anything. I got a random text from my cousin saying Kelvin Benjamin's available now that Sanders is out. And I'm like, Sanders is out? That I dropped whatever I was doing. I went straight to Twitter, and that's when my panic started. So I was pretty bummed about that news. He's, when it comes down to third down offense, he was one of the only guys that was consistently getting those first down catches.
Yeah. It's a huge blow.
Loss.
Well, we've lost it, like everybody, though. I mean, we lost Butt, we lost Harriman.
You know, it's so funny, because you guys know some German, right? Like, the way he pronounces his own name, I think, is incorrect. Or at least everybody on the air pronounces it Harriman, and that's not even close to how a good German.
I thought they pronounced it Jeff. Well, I agree. It's just, you know, it's just another damn bummer from the season. It's like, all right, well, let's see if we can, you know, MacGyver this thing back together. We've got some duct tape and a gum wrapper, and we're gonna make a football team out of these guys yet. Darn it. But
it's the year of the rookie.
In the last game, I felt like they all like started to believe that they could actually do it. And against these teams, I think they still can, even without Emmanuel Sanders. like
it helps to have the rookie of the year on both offense and defense.
Yeah, right.
We can do it. It can happen.
I think so too. I think, you know, like I said, luckily because of who we're playing, I think the players we have to fill in, they're rookies, but they're good rookies. So it definitely makes the whole run a lot harder. It would make any kind of playoff run harder. It's a bummer to lose such a leader. Both leaders, both Chris Harris Jr. and Emmanuel Sanders are both big leaders in the locker room for their units. And I think while it might be a little inspiring for the rest of the team to kind of play harder because those guys are down, it's also got to be hard to lose some of your inspiring players on the sideline during a game.
Get Tim Patrick some like really big diamond earrings and he may be able to fill those shoes. You got to have the big diamond earrings to play wide receiver for Denver Broncos. It's true.
Especially in San Francisco. Terrell Owens built that town, right?
That's right. Oh, goodness. Well, so speaking of the 49ers, how are we feeling about the 49ers? We're going to start with Tim because that's your backyard, Santa Clara, just down the way. Beautiful Santa Clara.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been there, but I've heard good things.
Are you going? I thought you were going.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Come on, Tim. We'll see. Just go.
But I mean, you know, it's exciting because the 49ers are 2-10 and, you know, they suck. So if I go, there's a good chance my team's going to win. And that's really what going to a game's all about, right?
That's right. My only real worry with the 49ers is Kyle Shanahan. So he hasn't, you know, been able to really pull them out of the trenches yet. But, you know, he's like his dad. He's got some mastermind in him. So I could see him scheming against us because he would know how to take advantage of our weaknesses and we could struggle.
See, about Kyle Shanahan, the most overrated second-year coach in the league right now.
That's just because they're too
intense. He started out his year, first season 2-4-6-8-9-0-9. Oh, good job. You know. And now he had a franchise quarterback, and they start out really bad. They lose the quarterback, and now they're still 2-10. I mean, at some point, you got to win with what you got, like Vance freaking Joseph's doing right now. So,
when you look at our team last year, and that's kind of more comparable, I think, to the 49ers this year. So, winning with what you got, we couldn't win with what we had last year either, which was zero quarterbacking. And that's kind of where he is right now. When you lose your starting quarterback,
well, we lost our starting quarterback in February of 2016.
Oh,
when we just did never replaced it. We're like, no, this is fine. This is fine.
A couple of backups. It's perfect.
You know who we need? Mark Sanchez. Let's get him in here.
Mark Sanchez. Oh.
Well, he did. Yeah, you know. I enjoyed seeing him play the other night. Just like when he saw him come in, I was like, oh, here we go. This is going to be good. I'm very excited.
I have to say, one of my most fun days on Twitter was the day that the Broncos brought Mark Sanchez in. I don't think I stopped making jokes about the butt fumble or about tweeting everybody else's jokes about it.
Can you see why I was so excited about Paxton Lynch?
In training camp, you remember that Sanchez was doing like a 2-minute drill, and instead of spiking the ball to stop the clock, he took a knee.
It's 200 IQ, Jess. 200 IQ.
Teams keep bringing them in. Like, they think there's going to be a different result somehow.
They're like, yeah.
Like the Broncos bringing in Nathan Peterman.
Oh, well.
I'll tell you what. The only thing I really care about when it comes to how the Broncos are going to beat the 49ers is how all my players on my fantasy team are going to score and beat Jess's team in the playoffs.
No, that's terrible.
Neither one of us have Broncos or 49ers, so it's like irrelevant.
What is the name of your team, Tim?
Curse of Miles Jack.
And why is it called the Curse of Miles Jack?
Because last year, around this time, your team won based on a Thursday stat correction, which I've never seen before. The biggest BS bullshit thing that's ever happened in the history of freaking fantasy football. Cost me money. I ended up not placing because of that garbage.
I spent your money. You know what I spent your money on? You know I spent it on?
I don't. What? What did you spend it on?
I don't know. It was like $30. It wasn't much. I was just asking if you knew. I would like to say that I think the Broncos are going to win this Sunday. 31-9. Oh. Yeah, it's going to be like, yeah. They'll get a safety on us. They'll get a touchdown and a safety, and that'll be it. Getting over.
Sure, not a touchdown, a missed extra point, and a field goal. That'll work too.
That could work. Yeah. Yeah, but that's not exciting.
Yeah. No.
Safety's... Blocked. Blocked. No. Extra point.
Yeah. Nice. Simmons. Simmons could do his magic. I love that, by the way. Like, he's like the only guy that does it now. Like, he's they like change the rules so that you can't do it. And he's like, hold on. I figured out the loophole. Here I come. I'm coming over the top. I want to see him do like a U.S. gymnastics team routine and like, you know, like do like the triple Lindy over the line.
Just jumping over is not enough. We need a flip. Flip with a twist.
Right? Yeah. And fireworks. Good. He can do it. And if he doesn't recover, Will Parks will get it, damn it, and don't run it back.
In his white shoes.
That's right. That's right. So what do you think? What do you think, Lori? What's the score going to be this weekend?
I'm going to go 28-12.
Four
field goals for San Francisco.
Yeah, that's about right. And Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think this team's going to score 30. They almost never do. So I'm going to say 23-10. Nice and vanilla.
You are the most lackluster fan I've ever seen.
If Peyton Manning ruined me, okay? He ruined me.
He ruined you because he was so amazing.
Yes, yes. I just don't expect greatness anymore.
Tim, the opposite. Because of Elway and then Manning, you know, even though it was a decade in between there, it's like I just pretty much expect the Broncos to be amazing all the time. And when they're not, it's such a bummer. But it's like, oh, well, maybe next time.
Tell you what, if Tebow was our quarterback... I'd probably be a little more enthusiastic about things. Yeah, and there's nothing like blind faith to just drive excitement and irrational behavior. And I just don't have that this year.
2 minutes and 30 seconds left. We need 3 touchdowns. Tebow's going to do it.
You're right. He will.
He hadn't done crap all game and kind of embarrassed himself up and down the field. But damn it, in the minute.
And then all of a sudden, the seas part and he just runs right through for a touchdown. What the hell?
Puts those hands together and just like levitates through the line. Just
yeah. Everybody just falls dead. Oh.
The plague of locusts and leprosy.
There needs to be a 30 for 30 about Tim Tebow because for such a short time in the NFL and a short time as a starting quarterback, he really is kind of a legend.
You know, it's only 15-0 with 3 minutes to go on the road in the fourth quarter. And the Broncos win 18-15.
Yeah.
What? Okay, I'll take it.
This is the point of the podcast where Scotty is listening and he just crosses his arms and is like, no, no, the sex.
There's no way Scotty listens this long.
He was a Tebow maniac too, so he'd be nodding on like, yeah, he was good. And then he would type, you know, something different.
Yeah. No. We love Scotty.
Yeah, let's talk shit about him every episode. I'm down with that.
Well, so I think that about sums up the something 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 podcast. I would like to I propose this. I don't know if it's gonna work or not. There's a good chance that you guys could be like, what? We're not doing that. I'm not what? And that's okay.
We're not millennials. We won't do that. We won't act that way.
So I have the Broncos mystery question that I'm gonna spring upon you two at the end of every episode.
Just what before you say it, if this starts with in 1963, I'm going to hang up the phone.
Is this a trivia question?
That's boring. That's boring. No, the answer is Frank Trapuka. Good time. let's see. No. All right. So this is the Broncos mystery question. Other than John Elway, who was your favorite Denver Bronco from the 80s and why?
From the 80s.
Yes, but you can't be John Elway because that's like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always John Elway. Tim, would you like to give Lori a little extra time while she figures it out?
I'm trying to decide between two players. One player was drafted in 89, who became my favorite defensive player of all time. But does the first 2 years of his, 12, 15-year career overtake the 6 years that I was totally a fan of Dennis Smith? But it's either Steve Atwater or Dennis Smith. Man, those Bash brothers, they were fun. I love that.
I'm going to go Steve Atwater, so you take Dennis Smith.
All right, fine. I'm not going to argue. If they both get picked, we're winning.
That's right.
All right. So you guys went later. You guys went like late 80s, like early 90s, kind of. They're more 90s.
I was thinking I need to have. That's
okay. Dennis.
The Broncos went to the Super Bowl in the 80s.
You know. Dennis Smith came in the league in 83, buddy.
What? That early? Really?
Yeah. I'm checking right now because now I don't know.
83?
Drafted. Oh, God. This is a basketball player? No, no. Dennis Smith Broncos, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Dennis Smith's playing sports.
Dennis Smith, real estate agent from Florida.
Oh, 1981. Boom.
That early, my gosh!
First round, 15th overall pick. Yes.
No, my favorite is the Hungry Man himself. Did the Hungry Man TV dinner commercials, Carl Mecklenburg.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean the guy did it all. Played everywhere. He's got that red hair, that pasty white skin, just like yours truly. He's kind of an inspiration to me and my family. And he knew how to hit, and he's just a cool guy, like the mech. I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
His nicknames were also the Snow Goose and the Albino Rhino.
The Albino Rhino, yeah.
Albino Rhino is my favorite. I like that one.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah. One. We already had a goose. How many geese do we need?
The Snow Geese?
Only one goose. You can only have one goose. No.
Yeah, we got. Yeah, there's already been a goose, one rhino, and his name's Carl Mecklenburg.
Yes.
I have to say too, because this I wouldn't say this is my favorite player or players, but I loved the Three Amigos in the 80s with John Elway.
I had a Three Amigos t-shirt, so yes, I concur.
So did I.
I had the poster from the Rocky Mountain News did in the 80s, they did like every week it's like a big, two-page spread poster of certain players. And so I would always go and steal that out of the sports page and hang it up in my room. And so there was one for the Three Amigos. And so I had that up. You know, it's like stapled to the wall.
So lucky to be a local fan growing up.
Oh, I tell you, there was a kid. I'll tell you this. There was a Orange Friday before one of the Super Bowls. And it was like everybody's dressing up and getting all excited. And this kid wore a helmet and cleats and like went all out. It was like all out. And his older sisters they weren't very kind to him, but they were like, "Why are you wearing those cleats? Everyone's gonna make fun of you." And like, but I thought it was cool. I was like, "Man, you got like all the gear and everything." I mean, they were like golf cleats, and it was whatever. So tearing up the gym floor with those things, but that's all right. You know, he had spirit, and yes, he did. Well, that's it. Are we done?
Sure.
We gotta have a better exit than that. It's gotta be a little more dramatic.
Well, we could edit that out and just be like, well, thank you for listening to three.
Something Broncos. Lord Lattimore Volk, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com.
Incomplete.
Something
Broncos.
Something
Broncos. Wait, there's three somethings or two?
Two.